Seated. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, it's songs like that that reminds me, that encourages me, that in the midst of everything that's going on, I just need to hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, when you let go of my hand and you decide you no longer want to be bothered, it's always good to know that Jesus stands there ready to receive me. He says, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. Just want to encourage you and to remind you, as this year draws to a close and is rapidly drawing to a close, take an inventory of what you did not do for the Lord. Don't beat yourself. Repent, get on the right track, and let's make 2017 a prosper year for the Lord. I want to encourage you and remind you that as we look at the world in which we live in, somewhere down the line, you and I are going to have to make some serious commitments to the Lord. Because I hope and pray we all see 2017. But if we don't see it, if I just not happen to be here with you, don't weep for me. Because I plan to be in heaven with my Father. Correction, I plan to be in paradise. And if you've been studying it here on Wednesday, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But once again, God has blessed us to be here at this place. I just want to remind you and encourage your heart as this year draws to a close, and as the world say, it's the season for the reason. He's the reason for every season, but we switched it around. Without him, nothing on this time side of life would really exist. And so the title of this lesson is, what is life all about? And you know, and I know as a young man, I used to ask that question, well, Mama, what is it all about? And you know what Mama would say? It's about the man upstairs. Wasn't very religious. Would mess with you at the drop of a hat if you mess with her. But she always recognized the man upstairs. And you know, and somewhere down the line, as God's believers, when we recognize who's really in control of our lives, then life really will take on a whole new meaning. You know, a lot of times we like to run ahead of God, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, isn't it amazing? You know, when you got grits in the pantry, a loaf of bread under both arms, and you ain't got to worry about anything, you really don't need him right then, do you?
That's right.
But boy, let the stuff get shaky. Let the change get strange, and all of a sudden, boy, we want to run to the house of the Lord. Well, I want to remind you, stay with him before we get to that point.
Amen.
And understand what life is really all about. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for the next few minutes, is going to answer the question, what is life all about? Life is about understanding what God has done for mankind. And you notice I didn't say for me. No, what he's done for mankind. God has done for mankind what man cannot do for himself. Man cannot save himself. Man does not have eternal life. But God has eternal life, and it's wrapped up in his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in this lesson text this morning, I want to encourage you and remind you, this is what life is all about.
Yes.
The richest man on the face of the earth came to the conclusion, after he had done everything under heaven's earth, that there's only one thing that's important on this time side of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and round about verse number 13, Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth, says it's vanity and vexation of the soul. But I found what the answer is all about. He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And I'm learning, church, that when you do things God's way, you don't have to worry about any other way. Amen, because God's way reigns supreme. In Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 16, Paul writes these words to encourage the believers there at Colossae, reminding them and encouraging them to stay focused, to stay motivated, to stay on track, and to remember that you've been redeemed from your sin, and because of that redemption, you ought to be able to show the world what life is really all about. So in Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 14, Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the visible God, the firstborn of every creation. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, for him. Underline that. If you want to know what life is really all about, God created you for his son. He made you in his image that you might glorify him and that you might live a life for him. So what is life all about? It's about doing what God commands us to do. He says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominion, principalities, or powers. All things are created by him, for him. Let that resonate a minute. Who's in charge of the government? Let me go on back to this book. Because when you look at what the Bible says, that means that God is in control of everything. Amen. Is that what he's saying here? Yeah. And then he gives us some information that we need to understand. Verse number 17, he says, and he is before all things, and by him all things exist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence. Church, we need to understand something. Because we've obeyed from the heart of the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, which is the church, Christ is supposed to have the preeminence in our lives. Am I right? Yeah. And if he has the preeminence in our lives, who dictates to you what life is all about? Who tells you when to go and when not to go? Is it not him? Because the Bible says all things have been created by him, for him. So who told you can do your thing? Y'all quiet. I'm just asking some questions. Because when I look at this passage of scripture, and if I look at my life and my life is not where it need to be, I need to ask myself a question. Who's really in control of my life? Because if everything in my life was created by him, for him, and if I'm doing his will, is there anything I have to worry about? Anything I should be concerned about? No, because no matter what comes up in my life, he's going to take care of it. Amen. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 down to around about 31, if you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, he'll take care of everything else. What is life all about? Life is about serving the living, the true God. Life is all about you and I understanding that we have been bought with a price. We have been redeemed from our sins, but for one purpose. And that purpose is to help men out of darkness into a marvelous light. Amen. Church, I'm learning that somewhere down the line, when we understand who we are and what our mission is on this time side of life, life will have a meaning that man will just not understand. How do you get a peace that surpasses understanding in the midst of your trials and tribulation? How do you get a peace when you're sick, when you're afflicted, and you don't know which way to go? I'll tell you how you get a peace. The peace comes from God, and God gives it to you freely when you do what he commands.
Amen.
Job understood that. Job said, although he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do we have that kind of faith? That in the midst of our trials and tribulation, we stand firm because we know that life is about serving God. And Amen. God said, I will take care of everything. Amen. And church, and I'm learning that when you really believe this, man, life takes on a whole new meaning.
Amen.
Becca asked me the other day, Dad, what you want for Christmas? Oh, y'all, I'm sorry. Wrong crowd again. And y'all quiet. And I told her, you know what I want for Christmas? I want for us not to argue, fuss, fight. It ain't about toys. It ain't about anything. It's about loving one another. Because when I'm flat on my back and between two twilights, too late.
Mm-hmm.
Too late to say I love you, because love ought to be something that you demonstrate every single day of our lives.
Amen.
And I said, I just want to be at peace with my God and peace with my fellow man. How do you get there? Well, you got to elevate yourself beyond that. But you got to understand, in order for you to really understand what life is all about, you got to understand who Jesus Christ is. And I'm learning, you can read this thing all day long and it means absolutely nothing if you do not apply what is written in the book. See, when difficult times come, Who do you turn to? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And church, and I'm learning that when we do things God's way, what's life all about? Pleasing the God that made me, is doing what he commands me to do. Paul, in this letter to the church at Colossae, reminds the believer that the purpose of life is about serving God, who has redeemed us from our sins and iniquity and have made us acceptable in the beloved. When I look at what Paul writes to the church here at Colossae, it reminds us, church, that God loved us so much that he just didn't give us anything, but he gave us the very best. Not only did he give us the very best, he made us in the image of the best. That's why, church, you ought to be excited. That's why I stay motivated. Why? Because I understand what God gave me. He gave me his son to die on the cross, and he gave me the spirit that could connect to him and his son. Church, I'm learning that you and I need to really focus in on what's truly important on this time side of life. As this year draws to a close, I don't know about you. Henry said it this morning. We need to meet. We need some inventory. We need to look at where we're at and the direction we're going to head in 2017. And I asked him a question. How do I get you involved? Mm-hmm. How do I get you motivated?
That's right.
That's right. It's real time now. How do I get you from the pew to the classroom? How do I get you here on time? How do I get you motivated? How do I get you? Y'all quiet. These are questions that I'm asking him. Going to be asking Brother Johnson. What are we doing in Apple Valley that we become so complacent that we just go through the motions? Is that what it's all about? If it is, time to go. Where do we see ourselves? Y'all quiet. I'm not fussing. I'm just raising some questions because I'm raising the same questions to them too. You know why? God's going to hold us accountable. And if I'm going to be held accountable for something, I don't know about you. If I'm going to be held accountable, I'm going to make sure you got some of this accountability on me. Church, it's time to see where we're at and the direction. Paul here in this text reminds the believer, don't get comfortable in your Christian walk, but understand that you have been made for a purpose. That purpose is to glorify the Father. That purpose is to help men out of darkness into a marvelous light. Why? Because one day you're going to leave here. James chapter 4 and round about verse number 14, James says, what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then it vanishes away. Paul here in this lesson text reminds the believer that you have been made in the image of God. And the reason you've been made in the image of God is to help other men out of darkness into a marvelous light. God did not only give us the very best of heaven, but he made us in the image of the best of heaven. That's some powerful stuff. And when I stop and think about that God made me to look just like him, well, I don't look like Henry, but Henry looks like God. And he looks like me. Come on, y'all. Amen. How do I know he looks like me? Because he walks in the light as he is in the light. Does that mean he's perfect? No, but he strives. And see, and that's the whole key in our Christian walk, is that we strive to be like Christ. Couple points, the message is yours. Point number one, what is life all about? It's about being obedient to him who's called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Go over to round about verse 13. The Bible says, who has delivered us out of the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, on whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. God translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and have made us to be part of the kingdom of God. Church, that ought to motivate us. That ought to enthuse us. That ought to really ask us raise some questions in our lives. What am I really doing for the Lord and Savior? If he was to come right now, what would he say to you? Would it be well done? I mean, we can sit here and shuck and jive ourselves all day long, but see, deep down in the inner part of us, we know whether or not we've done what he commands us to do. See, obedience come because you love him, not because I have to.
Right.
I better say that again. I don't do this because I have to. I do it because I love the Lord. Amen. And because I love the Lord, guess what? Whatever you need me to do, Lord, I'm ready. Amen. I'm ready to sacrifice my firstborn even. Why? Because it's for him. Thank be to God, I don't have to do that.
Amen.
But see, I do this out of an act of love and not out of because I have to. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You know that by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave. Genesis chapter 6, I repent I ever made you. But John chapter 3, God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Genesis chapter 6, I repent I ever made man. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. How much did he love us? He loved us so much that he sent the very best of heaven. And all he requires of you and I is that we do what he commands. But see, I do his commandments not because I have to, but because I love him. And why do I love him? Because he first and foremost loved me. That's right. And so that motivates me to do the will of the Father. Why? Because I love him that much that I'm willing to put my life on hold.
Amen.
To do his will.
Amen.
And you know, and God don't mind you doing anything on this time side of life. Let me drop this in. Matter of fact, when you do things his way, he says he'll even give you the desires of your heart. So he doesn't want to stop you from doing anything. He just wants you to realize and recognize who must be first and foremost in your everyday life. 1 John chapter 3 and round about verse number 1. Listen to what John says. John says, beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope does what? Purify himself even as he is pure. I do this not because of a commandment. I do it because I love him. Why? Because he loved me so much that he was willing to look down the cord of time, send his son to a cross, to die on that cross, that Stan might be saved. Church, that motivates me. That's what drives me, to know that one day when I'm laid outstretched, that I can hear the words, well done, and that he'll dispatch those heavenly pallbearers to take me on into eternity. That's what motivates me. That's what drives me. And maybe because I done got a little older. Maybe because I can see the grave from where I'm at now. I didn't see it 40 years ago. I didn't see it 20 years ago. But I see the grave now. And I know that one day he's going to call me. And I'm going to tell you like Jesus told them, don't weep for me. You weep for yourself. Because I'm going to live my life so when I stand before him in the day of judgment, I'm not going to have to worry about a thing. That's why it behooves us to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do on this time side of life.
Amen.
You know, every one of us sitting here know good and well what you're doing for the Lord. Amen. Do I need to point it out?
No.
I got a checklist. Do I need to? Because I can sure check it off. But you don't need that. You know what you need? You need me to remind you, to encourage you, and to warn you that one day, you're going to stand before Jehovah. You can shuck and jive me all day long. Mm-hmm. But one day, you're going to stand before him. And you're going to say, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? Shed in, did you visit me? And praise the Lord, you'll say, Lord, I did it all. And he'll say, well done. But if he don't say well done, look out. Point number 2. Obedience of love brings about a trust that grows my faith. I trust God so much that I have faith. And I'm learning that the faith that I have is not rooted and grounded in the things that I can see.
That's right.
I'm learning that God operates beyond the imagination that you can even come up with. But you see, that only comes when you really love him, when you really trust him, when you really believe that in the midst of everything that goes on, I can be victorious. I've learned that. I've learned that in the midst of trials and tribulations, if I trust God and he just happens to take me out of the picture,
yes,
I'm still victorious. Why? Because I got the victory. Why? The victory is in Christ Jesus. And seeing when we reach these levels of Christian in our Christian plateau of trusting God regardless of outcome and circumstances, church, it'll put a smile on your face. Amen. It'll motivate you when people say, man, you were just miserable. You don't believe me? Look at the book of Job. Look at how his friends looked at him. Surely you must did something bad. But his wife said, won't you just curse him and die? Don't hold to your integrity that God is who he say he is. But Job, the Bible said, never sinned against God. See, trust in God will grow one's faith in God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him. And guess what he'll do? He'll direct your path. See, when you really trust God, when you really believe that God is who he say he is, in the midst of all of your trials and tribulations, he gives you the comfort. He gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Hebrews chapter 11 and round about verse number 6, the Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing. You see, and that's the key with faith, is I'm going to do it because I know God will take care of everything else. Amen. That's why the psalmist said, I'm young, I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his descendants begging bread. You think I'm worried about tomorrow? No. I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. My God holds tomorrow. And what does he want me to do? He wants me to remain faithful in the midst of everything that goes on around me.
Amen.
John chapter 16 and round about verse number 32, Jesus reminds us that in this world you're going to have some tribulations. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, we live in the world. What we got to worry about? What are we worried about? We're worried about everything but making heaven our home. Because if we were worried about making heaven your home, wouldn't you do more? Wouldn't you be more excited? Oh.
Amen.
Because see, when you understand that you're only passing through and that one day you're going to leave here, boy, you would be, if you were going to get fired off your job tomorrow and they're going to give you 2 weeks to clear out your desk, what you going to do? Sit back and wait for 2 weeks? Oh no, you're going to hit the streets running.
Amen.
If you knew you were going to leave here tomorrow, boy, everybody would use their key name. Couldn't get rid of you. Church, our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it's going to vanish away. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, he says, by faith, when he was called to go out into a place he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in lands of promise, as in a strange country. He took his family with him into the desert. God tells you to go somewhere, and you go. What about your family? That's another story. The Bible says, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised. The Bible says in verse number 13, these all died in faith, not receiving the promise, but had seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them that and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Bible says they saw it afar off, and you and I have the promise. And that promise is if we do what God says, we'll have eternal salvation. Final point, see, out of obedience of love to God, it develops my faith to God. that faith grows into making me his purpose. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. My purpose on this time side of life is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. My purpose on this time side of life is to show the world, in the midst of everything that goes on, God still reigns supreme.
Amen.
My purpose on this time side of life is to be the light of the world, is to be the salt that helps the world stay on the right track. My purpose on this time side of life is to let men and women, boys and girls know that in the midst of everything goes on, God still reigns supreme.
Amen.
My purpose, your purpose, my responsibility, your responsibility is to make our calling an election sure.
Amen.
Hope and praise, church, I've said something to encourage your heart. This year is drawing to a close rapidly. And as it draws to a close, I want to challenge you. I want to provoke you. I want to stir you up and ask you to really ask yourself some questions. What can God really depend on you?
Mm-hmm.
You know how we like folk to do, we can depend on.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Don't you like folk you can depend on?
Yes, sir.
And when you find somebody that you can't depend on, what you do? You drop them. Now, can you imagine the Lord dropping us? Can he really depend on us in 2017 to turn the valley upside down? Can he depend on us to make sure that every member understand their responsibility? Can he depend on us? And when it's time to teach a class, here am I, I'm ready.
Amen.
Or will he do like the brother said? Because I remember a time that the book of the Old Testament, I'm trying to remember, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. God said, in the midst of your calamity, I'm going to laugh at you. You're going to seek my face, and I'm not going to even hear you. Church, I don't know about you. I want somebody that I can depend on.
Amen.
And he is the one that you can depend on. Church, I want to challenge you and encourage you. Stay on track as the year draws to a close. Get busy for 2016. Look at where we're at. Look at what we need to do. And let's make some changes that gives him the glory and the honor that's due him. Make the changes first and foremost in your own household. And then when you come into the body of Christ, church, we have something that the world needs. In the midst of everything that goes on, this ought to be the safe haven.
Amen.
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 Don't you run to a safe haven?
Yes.
Well, why is everybody running away from the safe haven? This is a safe haven. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as we stand and sing.